They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune, and I'm ready to choke my chicken all over those flappy-ass tits.
My name is Gavin Eddings, and just so you know, I'm making a fucking list of all this bullshit.
Oh, you might have guessed that we're, this is, first off, welcome to, what is this, season 8, Gavin?
I don't know nothing matters anymore.
Sure.
It's season 8. We decided that the podcast has been going for long enough now that it's time to remake it. It's time to just restart it, have some loose connection to the past movies, but we're doing an all-remake season, baby.
That's right. I think it's because some of these are good and some of these are turds that we're going to talk about. And today, we'll decide at the end, I guess, what is this a turd or is it good? We're talking about Rob Zombie's Halloween, 2007?
Halloween 2007, and we watched the director's cut. Yep. Which was a choice we made. It's hard to find like the theatrical cut though of this movie. Every Blu-ray, every DVD is like unrated cut. The unrated? So that's what we watched. We watched the unrated cut, and the unrated cut has one very specific scene that makes it very unrated.
Makes it better.
No.
The theatrical cut is available on my Vudu account if you want to watch that.
If you get into your Vudu.
The unrated director's cut is in the Halloween box set that my wife got me. And of all the presents, I told her I probably used that the most was the Halloween box set.
Do you remember seeing this movie for the first time? Were you there like opening weekend in 2007?
I feel like I saw this in theaters. I don't remember. Or pretty soon after that. Ooh. And I remember it, and I remember not liking it at first.
So I remember seeing it opening weekend in theaters, and I knew going into it, they had remade a few horror movies before. They had done a Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, which we'll cover in another episode. And it felt like, for me, remaking Halloween was like the bridge too far. Like, how are you going to remake Halloween, one of the most iconic slashers of all time? And how are you going to let Rob Zombie do it? Because at this point, Rob Zombie had only made like two movies. He made House of 1,000 Corpses, which we covered back in like season one of this, or season two. And then he also did Devil's Rejects, which is fine. But Rob Zombie's Halloween, it just strikes you with fear, even back in like 2006 when this was being discussed.
I was ready for another Rob Zombie movie because I wanted to smoke in my house. I said I feel like people that love Rob Zombie like to smoke in the house. And I don't even that's just a funny thing to say. I do like Rob Zombie for the most part. And we can put this in perspective. This came out in 2007. So before then, the last one was Halloween Resurrection, which came out in 2002. So I think the world was ready to get hurt again.
We had healed enough, and it was time to get hurt. And I still stand by Halloween Resurrection is a fun, bad movie. It is quite enjoyable. But this is a whole different beast. And we were wondering, well, what's he going to do with it? Is he going to make it a shot-for-shot remake like Psycho? Is he going to add his new spin to it? What are we going to do? And he definitely dumps a big old bucket of Rob Zombie jizz all over this movie. The dialogue is gross. The people are unlikable. Nobody talks like this. Nobody talks like this.
There was a cut on YouTube, and I'm trying to find it, of somebody cut out all the little kid stuff in the movie. And I don't know if that's available anymore on YouTube, but it was a fun cut to watch because it kind of got right to the Halloween of it, you know?
Yeah, because the stuff with, because they do an origin story for Michael Myers in the beginning where he is a long-haired blonde German boy. Mm-hmm. Just a little German boy. And
Pop, I made fudge in mein Lederhosen.
Oh, yes, we're making Uta burgers. But We know what Michael Myers looked like as a kid after they unmask him in the original Halloween. So we have like that visual cue of like what he looks like. Just him being like a trailer park German boy is not what I was imagining.
No, and that's what I've come to appreciate since then is nothing is the first one. It's not going to be, and I could get mad that it was even remade, but they're never going to stop making these movies. Mm-hmm. So I can appreciate when something is different and takes a swing at it. And even if it's a miss, I can appreciate that it's different. And that's what I do like about the first, I think I clocked it, 56 minutes of this movie was the backstory. And I think, you know, had I done better research, I think the plan was to split this into two movies and even give us the origin story, the Batman Begins, the Bad Man Begins story.
My favorite scene was when he asks Lucius Fox, "Does it come in black?"
And then you want to be able to turn your head.
I'll be able to turn my head in this white-ass latex mask. Does it come in Kirk? It's just a very it's very strange, though, because they do give Michael Myers an origin story, but it's a very cliche, like, every serial killer ever origin story of, like, he's hurting animals. Look at how he hurts animals, and he's very curious, and he's an outcast, and he's got a broken home. And we'll talk about how broken this home is. But did you think that they kind of copped out by giving him the most stereotypical serial killer origin story?
I guess. I think the beauty of the character in general is that there's no story. There's no reason, rhyme or reason to Michael. And I think Carpenter would say he's a force of nature. And I think he gets mad when people try to paint something to it. But also, if we're just going to remake the same movie, then why are we watching? But to have him be the white trashiest of the white trash, and it's more so the dialogue, is nobody fucking talks fucking like that at fucking all.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a problem with Rob Zombie movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't hate that they did that, and also to have him killing animals and you know, all that. That's, I guess it's fine. I guess if you're following psychological tropes, then you could say it's accurate, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think people were just like, if you want to do an origin and maybe not make it so, cliche, or you can make it cliche, but don't make it so white trash, because that's that first dinner scene the breakfast scene takes, I've seen this movie probably five or six times when it's on, and I always forget just how jarring the fucking fuckity fuck scene is, because like you made that joke about the,
I'm going to chuck my chicken all over those flappy ass tits.
Yeah, but it's actually maybe I'll choke the chicken and purge my snorkel all over them flappy ass titties.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. So like purge my snorkel? I've never heard anybody say that in my life.
Yeah, he says purge his snorkel and choke his chicken, and then about a minute later says, "I'll skull fuck you, bitch."
Yeah, like, and they're just having an argument over breakfast, and I know they're trying to make Ronnie out to be like a piece of shit, which we very much get that. We get it. And then he's yelling at Michelle for cutting
my bell.
Yeah, he's gonna cut his wiener off and go by Michelle, which that's a fun little thing he just throws out there at the breakfast table.
Well, the breakfast starts at 10. Like I thankfully have not been part of a super chaotic family, and I know they exist, but producer wife was watching this with me, and I was like, God damn, I don't know that I can't even watch the movie, let alone live in this house. I don't know how people do it, but if you don't know any different, then it just is what it is, you know?
That's just life on them streets, life in them trailers. Right. And then you've got Ronnie. Ronnie's the character that we're talking about, played by William Forsythe, who's saying all the gross things. He even talks about like,
she's got a turd cutter on her. She got a dumper. He said dumper. Turd cutter.
She got a nice dumper on her. And it's like, what?
His stepdaughter.
And we're even talking right now, like, we are distracting from that, the fact that Ronnie is garbage, but he is acting opposite one Miss Sherry Moon Zombie, who is, Oh, and we've talked about it before when she was Baby Firefly. I'm sure she's a lovely person, but sometimes acting, she doesn't quite get there.
I was thinking about this earlier today, and I don't hate her acting. I think she gets a bad rap because she's the wife of the guy who made the movie. But mm-hmm. It's not the worst, but if I'm choosing actresses, it probably wouldn't be her, you know?
It's just when he says the thing about, like, she's got a nice dumper on her. What the fuck you say? Say that fucking again. And you're like, oh, my God. Just always at a 10. Also, always at a 10.
How bad of a mom are you that this is the guy you keep around? Like, I know it's hard to move out, but after everybody's dead, she's still in that house, I think. So stop. This guy's maybe a pedophile. At least abusive to the children.
And we don't want to make light of these situations. Because some
people No.
Some people do feel trapped by these situations, but it's like, God damn, this is like the most extreme version that you can see. And we know some people live this life every day, but I think it also makes you not want to see it on screen when you know that people are out there like living through this on a regular basis.
Yeah. The babies cry, angels cry. Oh, my God. Yeah. Ear piercing. It's very much like Randy from A Christmas Story, where his cry starts at, like, it just goes up. And I'm like, oh, I don't know that I could have this kid around. Hey, Michael, I get it. I get it.
But luckily, he goes to school, and he's just beloved by all his classmates. it's like this kid's life sucks. Like, yes, he's killing animals, but maybe that's like all he's got is like killing animals, which is fucked up to say, but it's like, well, you gotta have some kind of release when Ronnie's hitting your mom and being an asshole and
in a wheelchair. And what I read, one of the facts is that was a shoot cast, brother. He actually hurt himself and was he wrecked his motorcycle, which is how I hope to go out. I hope to wreck William Forsythe's motorcycle.
You hope you hit William Forsythe with his motorcycle.
George Costanza bought John Voight's car. I want William Forsythe's motorcycle.
That injured him during the making of Rob Zombie's Halloween 2007. What a very specific thing to want in your life.
I'm a collector, baby. Can you fault me?
I'm collecting everything. But yeah, he goes to school and everything is great for him. I'm kidding. He's getting bullied by the Spy Kids kid.
Yeah. And Gavin, I heard they had to pump the cum out of his mom's stomach.
It's so fucking vulgar. And you and I are no prudes. People have heard this show.
Yeah.
They know. But it's just, it's like he does, it's like he writes a script like normally. And then does a fuck pass on it, where he just goes in and like sprinkles in little fucks and flappy tits and like everything gross that he can just like throw into the movie.
You know, AI is pretty popular right now. We should sit down and have AI write Rob Zombie's Willy Wonka, because that's a joke between us, is yes. To Rob Zombie eyes everything and make it Rob Zombie's blank. Like,
yes.
write a Rob Zombie Willy Wonka, because I would love to hear it.
Pure fucking imagination.
That's not a chocolate river. That's shit.
Look at it. Oh, look at Augustus Gloop. What a little pussy.
Little fat look at fuck.
Fat fuck. Sherry Moon is playing Willy Wonka and all of the Oompa Loompas.
You know those memes where it says you're making a movie, you can choose three actors, and it's like all the best actors you've ever seen. You're making a Rob Zombie movie, you could choose three actors, and they're all Sherry Moon Zombie.
It doesn't matter how big the part, how small the part, how the part is for a man. It's all Sherry Moon, baby.
Sherry Moon. She's in every hot movie. Oh, she got a tight dumper on her, Gavin. I got about 15 minutes on her. No.
I do think that she should be proud, though, that she is, like, the star of the strip club. Like, they're putting her in the advertisements.
Yeah, like, what a weird thing to... You think you'd get some kind of generic Photoshop lady instead of, oh, you want to go see this lady that lives next door to me dance?
You want to go see Michael's mom shake her tits at the, or get fucked for a quarter, or whatever Spy Kids call says this
yeah,
to her?
Yeah, she thinks she'd let me fuck her for a quarter. Man, I don't know how you think the economy works, but...
It, with inflation, that's at least like 89 cents now.
Yeah, thanks, Biden.
Thanks, Brandon. Back under President Trump, I could for a quarter. Zombie for a quarter. we used to be a proper country.
But yeah, like just those, the diet. So in like the first, I don't know how many minutes we've had, she's got a nice little dumper on her, pumped the cum out of her stomach, flappy ass tit, like just so much. So usually that's spread out in a movie, and it wouldn't be the worst I've ever heard, but I'm like, this is so much like white trash on top of everything.
It's so condensed. It's just rapid fire swearing for the sake of swearing. My favorite is when the kids from Spy Kids are beating up Michelle, Michael in the bathroom, and then the president, or the president, the president of the United States walks in.
And the band.
So the principal walks in, and he goes, the principal walks in, and Michael's like, fuck you. And the principal's like, fuck me. Oh, I'll show you.
Like he's never had a kid swear at him before.
Yeah, just hearing the principal swear. Did you ever hear like any of your teachers swear anything?
Yeah, we had a nun, Sister Kathy Ann. I went to Catholic schools, and it was, I think she planned it because it got a huge pop because she said the word shit in class.
And you got a pop?
She got a standing O. And then our principal, Chuck Weisenbach, that's his real name. He, at the beginning of the year, I think, was going over stuff, and he said, we will not tolerate hate and the following. We don't say the F word and the whatever words. And then he said the N word.
Was he white?
Yes. He said the word. He said all like, oh, the F and the A and. But then he said the N-word, it, like the word.
Yeah.
And like
hard R? Hard
yes.
R?
Yes. Yeah, and like it was to say, don't say this, but you could just say the N-word.
Yeah, so he didn't say like fuck or shit, he just said the N-word?
Yes.
Yeah, that seems a little wrong to me.
And then later that day, there was a bunch of calls to people. They had to do an automated call of an apology.
We're sorry that the principal said the N-word in front of the entire school.
And I get the sentiment of, hey, we don't say that. But you also just, if you don't know what the phrase the N-word is, good for you. Because you've lived a life where you've not heard it. But you could just say the phrase the N-word.
I can't remember if I told this story before, but when I worked in tech support, one of the things we had to do for some reason in tech support was take, like, I worked for a loan company, and I had to take calls for, like, if somebody, like, threatened the branch or something. So I'd have to, like, do a ticketed report. I don't know why this was my job when I'm also resetting passwords, but the company was pretty fucking shitty. So one guy calls in, and he's like, we had an irate customer, and this person I'm talking to is very white. You can tell. I can tell they're very white. And he's like, this per person came into the store and they started saying racial slurs. I can tell you them if you'd like. I go, no, you're good. You don't tell me. And he's like, yeah, but I can tell you. I mean, I can say if you need it for your ticket. I was like, I don't need it. He's like, okay, so I can tell. Like, do you just want to say the N word to me right now? Like, do you just want to say this to me?
Was that the word that he wanted to say?
Oh yeah, 100%. He wanted to say all of those. He's like, it was a black gentleman who came in yelling racial slurs such as, like, no, you can stop there. We don't need this much detail.
I think it'd be funny to make a fake complaint with fake racial slurs. Like, he called me a frostback. He said I was from Canada.
He said he wants these jib jabs to go home.
I'm tired of these goddamn jib jabs.
Fucking jib jabs. I lost my goddamn job to a jib jab. It's a jib jab job.
That sounds like something Jabba the Hutt would say. Hey, take my job, jib jabs.
Wookiee Skywalker jib jab took job.
You know, we were tight until he started throwing around the J-slur.
But your principal will be like, you can't say any F words, can't say S words, can't be saying jib jabs.
I'd like to formally apologize for using jib jab during the assembly this afternoon.
I want to give you props for frostbacks. Frostback's pretty good, too, for
you
Canadians.
You can add the word back to anything, and it sounds kind of racist.
Sandback? You're like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's already kind of one, Gavin. You can't say
is that too close?
There's no kind of. There is. The sand is one of them.
They're like, close enough. We're going to claim I'm canceled now because I got close enough to being racist.
Vermont, these maplebacks.
These gorillas, these silverbacks, am I right?
Come on. That's...
Come on now.
Harambe.
I'm sorry. It's still fresh for a lot of us, Harambe. It's still too
it's
fresh.
It's still real to me, damn it.
No.
So and then he gets his revenge on these bullies. He follows them home. And I, producer wife was watching the scene, and I made up a fake fact when Michael, little Michael's beating him to death with a tree branch. I said, all this was improvised. They didn't plan it. He really beat him to death. And she said,
and that's why
really?
You haven't seen I said, you serious, Clark?
Clark, are you serious? I thought I heard Santa Claus beating some guy to death with a tree branch across the street.
What a Rob Zombie that would be like, let him cook. Just let him cook.
Let's see where they go. Please stop this. No, just let him go.
Let him cook. Oh, this is great. And that's why we haven't seen the Spy Kids kid in a long time, because he was beat to death by what's his name? Dag Ferrick, or maybe it's Doug Dag. It's very it's very foreign.
Dag Ferrick. I had to look it up. Is how he said it on a YouTube video, and I'm still not sure.
When he himself said it, you're like, I don't know. It seems pretty sus to me.
Yeah, I don't trust this guy with how to say his own name.
Yeah. So he does beat a kid to death with a tree branch. He really sticks it to him.
Ah, poor sap.
Yeah, you gotta give him ingenuity, though, because he's like, what can I use? Big stick? Here we go.
Big stick, and then he just beats the kid to death.
Yeah.
No pageantry about it.
Sometimes you just gotta get the job done. That's all you...
Pretty brutal.
Yeah, and that's what this movie is definitely has going for it. The first Halloween in 1978, very finesse, very... Mm-hmm. In the shadows, what you don't see. It's not actually that violent of a movie by today's standards. But Rob Zombie's like, look, check this shit out. We're going to have him beat a guy to death with a stick and just wait till you see what we got coming later on.
Wait till you see my stick. Hey, bitch. Wait.
He was a big Ying Yang Twins fan. But in all fairness, though, I mean, I think Rob Zombie's movies are brutal. But also in 2007... What we had was Saw out then.
Yes.
Or, you know, you had to compete with the rest of what was going on in the world, including the Iraq War with the beheading videos. And I, you laugh, but I think also when you, like, we just had 9/11 years before, it's like, shit is brutal.
Yeah.
So people would have, you know, there would have been people being like, yeah, you could have been a little more brutal on that one, you know?
I just like the idea of Rob Zombie sitting around a table with like producers like, how can we make Halloween as brutal, if not more brutal, than 9/11? what can we do to shock these people? I was watching some beheading videos on YouTube, and I was like, that's some good shit.
That's what I was doing back then.
I was too, but I don't want to. It's weird how the internet used to be. It's weird. Yeah. Like, the internet's still terrible and garbage, but it's just like, you want to watch a beheading on YouTube?
That wouldn't have been on YouTube now. But back in the day, it's just like, let's watch, because this is literally, I've said it on this podcast and all my shows, but I'd be watching the Keep Fishing video from Weezer featuring the Muppets while a beheading video loaded on the other tab.
They really compliment themselves, though.
Well, you watch 30 seconds of one, and by the time that's done buffering, you can go to the other one, and that's buffered a little bit, you know?
Oh, but yeah, it is very brutal, and then the brutality just keeps going, because then we got that Halloween night. Got a Halloween mm-hmm. night, and we made fun of in our very first episode about how Judas' boyfriend was a two-pump chump. This mm-hmm. guy lays the pipe. My man. That's one thing Rob Zombie said. He's like, we got to make this as brutal as 9/11, and we got to make them fuck just as hard as 9/11.
Clap cheeks.
Clap them cheeks. And he does. And Rob Zombie likes violence, and he likes sex, and we get both of those in plenty in these movies.
I'm looking at my DVD copy right now, and the one of the lines on the cover says, as brutal as 9/11. And then it says, cheek clap in action.
cheek clap, and as also as brutal as 9/11. But it's very just like, it's so sexual. And then Michael Myers, for a little kid, like, he does a spree. He does a serial kill. Like, he just goes room to room killing these people. He duct tapes Ronnie to his chair.
Yeah. Which, by the way, watching the thing from Another World,
mm-hmm.
which was they were watching in the first Halloween, and then later in the movie, little Lindsay Wallace is watching that same movie, and Big Michael standing behind her.
Yeah. So it's nice to have that callback and to keep that. I probably thought Rob Zombie would have him just watching hardcore pornography instead of...
And just, werewolf women of the SS.
Yes, just hardcore pornography of some sort. And then later on, later in the movie, Lindsay Wallace would also be watching hardcore pornography just for the symmetry.
Hey, Lori, have you seen Cervix Busters?
What was that one you saw that one time that we talked about?
I don't know. What was it?
Granny Wants It or something.
Oh, I don't remember. It was the lady from...
it was the lady from Thanksgiving.
From Thanksgiving. I'll have to pull it up now.
A brother does it good.
Oh, a brother... MILF does a brother good. Yeah. Lori, get in here. MILF does a brother good is on.
It's on. Why is it on Fox?
Why is it on over-the-air cable? Like,
It's vintage. It's on MeTV.
It's on MeTV.
It's a fucking dumb joke, but I love that.
Oh, Sven Gulli's hosting this one. We need to point out that Ronnie, in a wheelchair, and it's a long-standing thing on this show that we believe handicapped people are the most annoying people per season,
mm-hmm.
because we've said Franklin from a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or not a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
mm-hmm.
Is annoying, and it just so happens to be in a wheelchair. But I'm willing to just admit now, Gavin, that I think handicapped people are annoying.
Yeah, and as somebody who spent a lot of time with Ryan Niemiller recently, I'd say definitely just.
Somebody's gonna clip this and then
send it to Ryan. They'll be like, "So I hear you talking some shit."
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that ends in back for a derogatory term.
These bent backs.
That's me. I got the scoliosis. So hey, motherfucker, that's you better our word. Keep my slang out of your mouth. yeah, Ronnie gets it in the chair, is duct taped, and nobody is upset that he gets killed because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, we're like cheering for him. It's like when the Spider-Man's walk out in Far From Home. It's just like, yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Good job. Or No Way Home, rather. I have to correct myself or else I'd hate myself forever.
But nerd.
Yeah, and then he beats the piece of shit boyfriend who did lay some good pipe. He beats him with a baseball bat.
Would you hook up with somebody and then just have the nerve while she's upstairs to go in their fridge and make a sandwich? I feel like I'd have, if at a friend's house, I'd never laid pipe and then gone downstairs. So I'd have to say, if Gavin, if you were not, you, teenage us were hanging out at your house, I wouldn't have the nerve to go to your fridge. I'd have to have you there too.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, you have those sleepovers and it's like maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and your friend fell asleep and you're still awake and you're like, I'm hungry. But you're mm-hmm. like, well, gotta wait till breakfast because I am not getting in your fridge.
Yeah, I can't have your dad come down in his tight whites seeing me rooting through his fridge.
It's a real don't wake daddy situation.
don't wake Ronnie.
Don't wake Ronnie.
I'd love to see that game. And it's just playing music as loud as possible because he's drinking hard liquor straight from the bottle.
He just wakes up and goes, where the fuck you going with them flappy titties and that big old dumper?
Those flappy ass tits and that dumper.
Mm.
So the boyfriend gets it, I assume gets hit in the back of the head, with a heavy object. And then Michael goes upstairs and puts on the Michael Myers mask.
Yes. Which hilarious, hilarious.
It's too big. And I've said it on this podcast before too. I think it was, not a Spirit Halloween, but one of those stores. And it's an inside joke with me and producer wife because there was about a 4-year-old child walking around inside this Halloween store with the Rob Zombie mask on. And you could just hear his voice muffled in the rubber. And he says, I'm my Myers. I'm my Myers.
And then he just goes, so, oh, behave.
Where the get your flappy ass tits out of here. I'm my Myers. But he goes and he's this is where Michael gets sexual because he's like touching his sister's leg. So hot. It was so hot.
It was so hot in the mask. That was now engulfing
in the mask. Yeah, it was.
He's just like two little legs in a giant mask. He looked like. There was a. This is going to be a very deep cut reference. Do you remember the show The Critic?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Stonehenge kid on The Critic?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, the Easter Island kid.
Yeah, the Easter Island kid. It was just that's what Michael Myers looked like. If you topple him, he can't get back up.
It looks like if you put your grandma's muumuu on as a as an 8-year-old, just to the floor, like. And it's then of course
floor go length ahead. Mask.
Judith freaks out, rightfully so, and then he kills his sister.
Yeah, long way to get there. Takes a long ass time to get there. We had to go to school with this kid. We had to go everywhere, but it was just quite the journey to get to where he finally kills his sister, and we can finally start the movie. But then we don't start the movie. Still,
I don't hate all this stuff. I think, again, like the character, there should be no reason for anything he does. That's why it's scary. But if we're painting the picture, I'll go along with the ride. Mm-hmm. Because then we get the Sherry Moon Zombies off shaking her things at the strip club, by the way.
Yeah, to Love Hurts.
Love Hurts. The good soundtrack. You can't knock Rob Zombie's music for the most part.
Yes. I just don't want to. We've talked about going to strip clubs. I just don't want to see somebody shake it to Love Hurts. That is not. That's too slow of a song. That's too slow of a song to get down to.
What's the Touch Tunes app? I get that on my phone. I put my money in, and the next thing you hear is "Never mind, I'll find someone like you." Just play a little Adele. And then...
I want some Creed. I want them shaking it with arms wide open.
Dun, 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 dun.
Let's go! Get back. Nothing but rock right now. We got cinnamon coming to the stage.
I want a soundtrack of Adele and Godsmack. Hello.
Get back.
I want the DJ to blend them in. I want a mashup of the two where you get a little bit of Adele over Godsmack.
I talked with Tina on the episode for Queen of the Damned, how she's like, I've been to so many strip clubs and I've watched so many goth girls dance to Digital Bath and Changing the House of Flies by the Deftones. Like, like that is your goth rite of passage as a stripper. You're like, all right, get up there and shake it to Chino Moreno.
Yeah, what are goth stripper names, you think? Like, somebody would be named like Cruella.
You know, Cruella, or Raven.
Raven, yeah, Raven. That's definitely.
Yeah, Raven. There's I don't know, but Raven's definitely one of them, or like the Crow, perhaps.
Yeah, hey, is the Crow working tonight?
Actually, she can't make it in because of the weather, but you know it can't rain all the time.
As the crow flies. And if there's more than one girl named Crow, then it's a murder. I don't know.
If they just like, come to the stage now, we've got a murder.
And a murder.
Like five girls come to the stage and they're like, it's my turn.
She's my cherry pie.
They all have different songs combating with each other. It's a mess. It's a bad gimmick. It's a bad night at the strip club.
You know, one of them is Nightmare on Elm Street themed, or not Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm thinking a Nightmare Before Christmas theme.
Nightmare on Elm
Street. Hot topic.
Nightmare on Elm Street theme is like, she's got severe burns, but she's out here working.
Man, from that one angle, she looks good.
And you know what? I looked at her and I said, well done.
Her name's Freddie. By the way, not appropriate of anything, but the if you're looking for a good TV show about strippers, P-Valley on Stars is very good. Yeah. If you like, it's set in Mississippi.
Ooh.
So we accidentally started it and we finished it on purpose. So it's a good show.
Yeah, normally you also finish by accident. So for you to finish on purpose was a new
thing. Oh, God! Sorry. Hey, you weren't lying.
You know what? Sometimes the jokes just keep on coming, and so do I.
Hey, come on. That's gross. I like to do a dirty joke, and then when you build on it, I shit on you for going along with it.
You know what? I'm not going to purge my snorkel to this podcast anymore. I'm really sad about this.
We should make a purge my snorkel shirts.
Yeah. Jib Jabs purge my snorkel.
What is that shirt? I don't even know, man. It's just a thing from a podcast I listen to. I like the guys, so I'm willing to throw them $20.
For this nonsense shirt that says Jib Jab purge my snorkel.
Purge my snorkel. So Michael, they're going to therapy with Dr. Loomis. Did you know that was Malcolm McDowell?
Yes, I did know that was Malcolm McDowell. Did you know it was Malcolm McDowell?
I did. One of my favorite things to do when watching a movie with somebody, and mostly just means producer wife, is like look at the movie and be like, did you know that was Jim Carrey? Like the most famous people be like, did you know that that's him?
We're watching The Mask. Like, yes. I'm aware.
Well, we're going to get to The Mask because that's all Mikey likes to make.
Yeah.
Is masks smoking.
I don't like it. Especially like he's making the masks and then we get, so the director's cut, if you're wondering what the main differences are, this first part is more dragged out. And it shows Dr. Loomis, like, trying to be a good doctor to Michael. Mm-hmm. But you get scenes like, what is that mask? Why is it black? It's my favorite color. Actually, black is the absence of color. And light and white is all the colors. And you're like, oh, yeah, color theory. We get it, Rob Zombie. You're very deep.
That's not a terrible Malcolm McDowell impression, by the way.
Yes. Why is your mask black? Yeah. My droogies? I lost it.
Purge my snorkel.
I've lost it. But yeah, he, it goes back and forth, and then you think like maybe he's going to like Michael Dud doesn't like remember any of this stuff, and he's like, everything was great. Everything's great on Halloween.
When can I go home, mommy?
Yeah. And then the darkness takes over him, and then he kills a nurse with a fork.
Well, I'm surprised they give him a metal fork.
Yeah.
You're like, you're in one of those places, an asylum. Mm-hmm. They don't give you shoestrings. You don't get real forks. A lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's really crazy how Jeffrey Epstein managed to kill himself with none of those things. But
that's true. Yeah, I bet it was Mikey Myers.
My Myers.
I was good to you, Mikey.
Oh, and we do meet Danny Trejo, who plays Hispanic janitor, which very good.
And something I read, isn't his name Ishmael or something like that? Or is his name Hispanic janitor?
Ishmael Cruz.
That's his name? Yeah.
Yes.
I always say that when he's getting killed. I always just say, I was good to you, Mikey.
Yeah, that's one thing I remember from this show. Like, I remember when you ask me, you're like, which version you want to make? And I go, the unrated version with all of the, that was good to you, Mikey's in there. But so Michael does kill the nurse, and then his mom shoots herself. And I was surprised they cut away for that, because they show everything else in this movie. But Rob's always like, I can't show my wife shooting herself. That's too much for me.
I'll show her fully nude in the strip club. Next to Raven, but not her killing herself. And like, we were talking to producer wife and I were talking, like, don't you think if like he just murdered that nurse, that maybe you'd resign yourself that this kid's just going to be in here forever, and maybe you could go start a new life? I know that's kind of shitty to say, but it's maybe the kid's unreachable, you know?
Yeah, like, how do I reach these kids?
How do I reach these kids?
Well, have you tried being a white woman and going to an inner city school? Because that's how you reach these kids. But I've talked to my friends about this who are therapists, and they're like, some people, like, you just can't reach. And they'll sometimes, and they'll even joke, be like, yeah, you just give them to somebody else and move on with your life, because you can't help everybody. Some people are beyond helping, which sucks and is sad, but it happens.
And by friends that are therapists, you mean your therapist?
My actual therapist, yeah. I'm like, why do you keep trying to pass me out to somebody else? And he's like, I can't reach these kids.
Hey, I know we're here to talk about my mental health and whatnot, but do you mind if I run a little premise by you from the 2007 Rob Zombie Halloween?
Look, I've made this mask, and I need you to talk about the absence of color.
And she has behind her two white horses, a Rorschach test, which is a reference to the sequel to this movie, but I digest.
Oh, so good. But then we just kind of flash forward to Michael Myers getting older, and Malcolm McDowell, Dr. Loomis, keeps showing up like every day. Like, do you have no other patients, my man? Like, this is a lot of investment.
Yeah. And like, he also shows up looking kind of cool. He's got long hair, yeah. Aviators in the high school. And he's just got a good look to him overall, I think, in this movie.
Malcolm McDowell's a good-looking dude in this. And he's not your daddy's Sam Loomis. No, this is a cool Loomis. This is a Loomis that'll take your mom out but hit on your daughter. And you're like,
clap your mom's cheeks and then do something. I don't know. I didn't think of that through.
You never
probably
do.
Just clap your mom's cheeks.
And then politely leave and not make a snack.
But, like, we see Michael grow up, and he's a behemoth. He's huge.
Yeah, and once he becomes a giant behemoth, him wearing the little paper mask is so fucking dumb.
You're like, I like it.
It's very silly, though, because it's Tyler Mayne, no relation to Gucci. It's Tyler Mayne, who I've seen in real life. He is a large person. He played Sabretooth. Mm-hmm. In the first X-Men movie. So
Didn't he wrestle for a while?
I think he did wrestle for a little bit. But yeah, he's a big dude. And yeah, I don't know how this tiny Michael Myers, like, there are growth spurts, and then there's you drank the Rock's blood and stole his testosterone.
Well, I think he has the mark of Thorne if you look closely. That's why he's able to shoot up.
Is that what? So if I draw the mark of Thorne on me and then hit the Planet Fitness, I can also be giant?
Yeah, I wonder how many Mark of Thorne tattoos there are in the world.
There's thousands. There are thousands of them. Because I know people, like, if you go to any horror con, you're like, can I see your tattoos? Can I see your Mark of Thorne tattoo? Yeah.
That's how you know they're like a member of the Stonecutters from The Simpsons.
It's just a line and a triangle. It's a very easy. One of my friends has that tattoo.
I've got it somewhere on my body, and I'll let you find it next time I see you in person, Gavin.
You got? Why am I looking? And you're like, it's there. I swear. Now get in there.
It taint there. I just keep saying that on my back with my legs in the air. It taint behind my ear.
I don't like the way you do magic tricks.
And then you look and I'm like, nah, I don't even have a tattoo.
But thanks for gazing into the fucking abyss.
Sometimes the abyss stares back or whatever.
Your abyss winked at me.
I like the aspect of him making those masks. It's kind of, we had Michael, or there was the character in Halloween Resurrection that's obsessed with serial killers, mm-hmm. that was wearing the masks too.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that he makes masks because obviously, like, there's moments in this movie where he tells his mom, put the mask back on, and you see this slow transition that he's even uncomfortable to be unmasked, you know?
Yeah. So I don't dislike the method. It's just there's one mask in particular where he's, like, sitting there talking to Loomis. I was like, this is pretty silly. It's a little...
Do you like the orange one? Because that's some of the I have the some figures
yeah.
of this Michael Myers, and that's kind of the one that we see is that what it was,
like the
pumpkin face
one.
Type deal. Yeah,
I like the orange one. So let's go ahead and talk about the big old elephant in the room that happens in this movie that makes the unrated director's cut. The way that it is, and it's because of this scene that one of our Patreon subscribers, Bailey, she says. Because of this rape scene that we're going to talk about, she doesn't want to watch, like, any Rob Zombie movies. And mm-hmm. I even told her, I was like, if you watch the theatrical cut, it's a little bit easier to digest and watch.
Because it's not in there, right? Like,
it's not in there. No, it's just cut. And it was cut for... It doesn't do anything. It doesn't serve anything. It doesn't make Michael Myers look like a better person or whatever. Essentially, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's very infamous, but... There's two orderlies, or like an orderly and like a friend of the orderly, and they come into the asylum.
They're cousins that work there.
Okay, they're cousins. And they get this one girl who's like new to the facility, and they pull her out, and they're going to sexually assault her. And they decide that it'd be a good idea to do it in giant-ass Michael Myers' room. And they're like, don't touch his stuff or whatever. He gets this big R word, doesn't like it when you mess with his stuff. Mm-hmm. So all in all... Just cinema. Real fucking cinema happening here. And then you think like, oh, well, surely Michael Myers is going to stop this rape. He's going to stop. And then he doesn't fucking stop the rape.
He only stops it because they start touching his mask.
Yeah, so it's not like, it doesn't even make Michael Myers look like a good person where like he draws the line at like sexual assault. So it's just like the most over-the-top, crass, it's gross. It's gross. How do you feel about it?
I thought it was great. No, it's just unnecessary because, you know, I'm not speaking for Bailey, but I like when you see a rape stuff, it kind of that's like real terror.
Yeah.
Like, why do I want real terror in my horror? It's not fun. It doesn't make me. And if you haven't raped, you probably know somebody that's been raped, and it's not fun. And there were other ways to get to Michael breaking out that didn't involve that. Just have the two guys go, you know, hey, they decide to go bust balls and mess with them.
Yeah.
And then he finally has enough. Like, it doesn't really serve anything to the story. And it's very like Otis Driftwood and Devil's Rejects to have in like the lady. What, put her hands down her own pants or whatever, the gun down her pants. It's like, I just, you know, it's not fun. I'm watching horror as an escape, and I know it's messed up to watch horror for an escape.
Yeah.
But then to put some of real life terror in there, it's not something I look forward to watching.
Yeah, and I'm not even opposed to, like, sexual assault being a plot point if it moves the story forward in a meaningful way.
If it's centered around that.
Yeah,
you know?
Like girl with the dragon tattoo that becomes like a central driving force. The foreign film Revenge is great. Mm-hmm. I Spit on Your Grave. Those are all like rape revenge films. But this is just like, what if we just put this in here to make everybody look like shit and make everybody. And I feel, I know it's just acting and everybody are professional actors, but you got to feel bad for the actress who plays the rape victim and then to have her scene cut from like the theatrical version. Like that's got to be. That's got to feel kind of shitty.
Hey, she made her $75. She knew what she was doing.
She made scale.
I will say that the one security guard is, I don't know what his name is, but he always plays the same type of character, and that's not a slight. I would play the same character too. It's just you get typecast. That guy was from The Walking Dead.
That is Lou Temple.
Lou Temple. I like him when he's acting.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know that, but the other guy, his cousin, is Malachi. From the Children of the Corn, the redhead guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Outlander, we have your woman.
Outlander! fun fact about a not-so-fun scene. And it's like, also, that's your cousin. So you guys are going to both rape this woman, but you're going to do it with your cousin. It just seems odd.
Yeah, it just doesn't... I don't know anybody who I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but any group of friends that is just like, let's go. We going out tonight. We got to get one girl for the both of us. You're like, I've never been that close with anybody.
No, you and me, we'll London Bridge somebody consensually.
Consensually after some shows where we absolutely crush it. And then we go back to the hotel room and we crush it together.
We'll touch things.
And we'll be doing our bits the entire time. Nobody will enjoy it.
Just so nervous. I do like when Michael's killing Kendall, the one loudmouth guard. He keeps saying, it's Kendall, Mikey. It's Kendall. Mm-hmm. As if that makes a difference. The guy who's been a dick to Mikey since day one.
Yes.
Hey, no, it's me. It's your boy.
It's your boy. Hit that like and subscribe button. It's your boy Kendall right now. Right now, we're going to put 15 marshmallows in our mouth. Let's see if we can do it. But one person that was not nice to him, that is Danny Trejo, Ishmael Cruz. Hey, Mikey, listen, I did some time inside too. And don't let these go live in your head. There's no walls there. It's like, I don't know if that's the best advice for the serial killer.
Yeah, not for Michael Myers. Goddamn Michael Myers.
Goddamn Michael Myers living in his head. That head to fucking buy you.
But a character that we like. He shows some kindness to Mikey. He gets got and drowned to death.
Yeah, he gets drowned.
Fucking... tub the thing of mop water, not even good water.
That's not, if you're gonna drown me in some good water with no food in it. I don't like touching food on dishes. I just want a clean sink to be drowned in. That's all I ask.
But yeah, so then we get the breakout, and that's, again, I made a note, that's 56 minutes. We've talked about that long about just the first part of the movie.
Yes.
But that's also the new ground covered, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this movie.
But also, Brent, I was good to you, Mikey. Just wanted to let you know I was good to you.
I got you the birthday card, Mikey.
I got you the gift card.
The Legos.
So then, yeah, he escapes, and we're almost done. We're almost to the part where we can kind of like zoom through it because it's just like, we meet Lori. But we got to talk about Joe Grizzly, bitch.
I like this scene. I just like it.
I like it too. I like Ken Foree. He absolutely owns it. But imagine like, Ken Foree, you were great in Dawn of the Dead. We have a great part for you. We need you to take a shit. And really just chew the scenery of taking a shit. And he does.
Man, I would have nailed this audition.
Be like, you don't have to actually do it. You can act it out and be like, nah, method.
Yeah. That would have been a self-tape. I would have gone in the room, Rob Zombie sitting across the table from me, and I would have shat for real.
And he would have loved that. He would have loved that. He would have loved how brutal it was.
And then when I smeared it on the wall, I would have just left my phone number and walked out.
You should have written your phone number on the wall with your poop.
That's what I was implying.
Well, I ruined your joke because I'm dumb.
Yep, you did. You're fired.
No. But Joe Grizzly, I thought it was fine, but then they have a fight in a stall, and you got to know that, do you think he, whenever somebody gets killed on a toilet, we have to ask ourselves, did they poop? Or is he still turdling while fighting Michael Myers?
I told producer White, one of my favorite tropes in all of horror is when somebody gets scared on the toilet and they get up without wiping their ass. We get Demon in part 5, Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. Other examples that I can't think of. It happens.
Yeah.
So that means he got killed with a shitty ass.
Or still half prairie dogged. We don't know.
Because he had a Taco Supreme Deluxe talking back at him.
Yeah, so he's going to be in there for a while.
And again, we get Tom Sawyer from Rush.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, we get Dee Wallace as Laurie's mom. We get Ken Forey. I got a lot of actors who aren't used. They're like the Rob Zombie's crew.
Yeah.
And, you can say a lot of things of why you don't like Rob Zombie movies. I like that he's using some of these people that are kind of were horror staples and now bringing them back or giving them opportunities because, for everybody loves Sid Haig. And would we even be talking about Sid Haig as much if he wasn't in the Rob Zombie movies?
But not
as much as we are now, you know?
And Sid Haig does make a cameo in this. Mm-hmm. As a cemetery worker,
groundskeeper Sid.
But we finally get to once basically Big Joe Grizzly exists so that Michael Myers can get some clothes and then keep going. So that's fine. I love that we finally meet Laurie an hour and 45 minutes into this movie, just in time for her to be done. Mm-hmm. And immediately, everybody in this movie is so fucking horny and so sexed up the entire time. Like, she's fingering a bagel in front of her mother, and her mother cannot believe the filth. Like, I've never seen somebody so taken aback by somebody fingering a bagel hole.
Yeah, putting a hot dog, was it a hot dog in a bagel or whatever?
Yeah, she's just really showing it out there.
What's her, Dee Wallace.
Yeah, and then in the director's cut, they added a scene back, I swear to God, where
she goes down on the bagel for 45 minutes.
Really cream cheeses it up.
Yeah. It was whipped cream cheese by the time it was over.
But the end of it is there's a callback because you do see more scenes like Lori and her mom in the director's cut. But there's even a scene later on where her mom's like, it really bothered me what you did with the bagel. And I was like, why is this such a plot point?
Yeah.
Why is this story narrative hanging on by how she fingered the bagel?
It's not important, but it's a little touch that we appreciate.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Zombie for doing that.
Then it becomes pretty much just Halloween that we know and love. Lori goes and drops off some mail. Don't know why Michael Myers smelled the mail. That was a choice he made. I was like, is he going to hunt her like Wolverine?
My dearest Lori. he also gets the mask back out of the floorboards. And I think, I love these two masks from the two Rob Zombie movies. I think they look really cool.
Yes. I like the mask as well. I think that they made it distinct enough that it's its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like it. I don't know how it got under the floorboards, though. I guess
I think Mikey did it.
After he killed Ronnie, he's like, oh, better go put this under the floorboards because ever come back for it.
They'll take it and leave it in evidence.
Yeah.
So we're kind of up to where Halloween is as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet the two. What's Daniel Harris?
Yep, as Annie. Then you've got other girl as Linda.
Yep, totally.
Totally. And you've got Scout Taylor Compton as Lori, and I think she does fine as Lori. She's never going to be Jamie Lee Curtis, but they do feel younger than the other kids. Are younger.
She looks younger. Physically, she looks younger.
They all
not as big, you know?
Yeah, they all look younger. I think Daniel Harris is probably like 30 at this point.
We did the math. It was 30 because I was like, can you believe, she fits right in.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even be able to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she uses a lot of cons and stuff too. So I've seen her in person, And mm-hmm. she's very attractive. Apparently, she's very nice. But
is it weird for you to see somebody that was 30 at the time nude, and then to go back and think about how she was in Halloween 4 and 5 as a child? Is that a weird thing to think about?
It's always weird to think about. It's also weird that people were like really excited to see her get naked. They were there because it came out that's like, oh, she's going to be nude in the movie. And people got really weirdly excited about it. And that's like,
ready to purge their, what was it, snorkels?
Yeah. It feels very gross. People, like, there were people that, like, there's Bad Barbie, the Cash Me Outside, How About That girl.
Oh, yeah.
People were so excited that, like, there was a countdown to when she turned 18.
It's always so weird when they're like, oh, the Olsen twins are going to be 18. Like, you just want to jerk off to a child is what you want to do.
Yeah, and not feel bad about it. And it's
like you do before.
Yeah, like we already know you're doing it. You just want it to be somehow legal now. Like
now you like want to nudge somebody and be like, eh?
Look, it's okay now. It's okay. Yeah. Like this is an Applebee's. I need you to
eat your riblets and leave me alone.
I'm trying to enjoy my Dollarita, and you're over here talking about the Olsen twins.
But it is like it's because I think Danielle Harris at 4 or 5 is like. You know, I think a lot of child actors are just shitty because they're kids or they're annoying. But I think she does a great job in those two movies. Mm-hmm. And then I like that she had more acting jobs because of Rob Zombie. But it was just weird because, you know, guys are just creaming their jeans, even though the other thing that they know her from is from being a child.
Yeah,
you know?
It's weird. I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like it.
We meet Sheriff Brackett, too. Brad Dourif, again. He was in Deadwood. I know he's been a lot of stuff. He's Chucky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's just like to see him as Brad Dourif and not Chucky is cool, you know?
Because he's a good actor. Mm-hmm. It's always good to see him pop up in things. Like I watched Lord of the Rings Two Towers over Christmas, and he's in those. And you're like, he was in
I forgot that was him because I couldn't tell.
Yeah, you're like, he's in Lord of the Rings. He's in everything. Mm-hmm. I liked him on Deadwood as the Doctor. And I feel like... I feel like he's just playing the doctor from Deadwood as the sheriff in this, but that's not a bad thing.
No, and like I like him, and he has a more prominent role in Halloween 2, Rob mm-hmm. Zombie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What else do you want to cover before we kind of get to the murdering?
I think we can just get to the murdering because there's not much else to say. What?
Oh. One more, a daytime stalking.
Oh, okay.
I think this movie has some great stalking as far as him walking down the street in Pasadena, hiding behind the trees.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so that he's so big.
Yeah.
There's you can't not see the dude.
Yeah.
And you know that they don't see him and he's kind of hiding. It's creepy. You know?
I wanted a scene where there's a very famous scene in the first Halloween where he pops out from like the hedge mm-hmm. and then they look back and he's gone. I want that scene in this, but you can still see the top of his head over the hedge. You're like, where'd he go? Oh, there he is.
He's right there. we get Halloween night, and Tommy Doyle is dressed up as Otis Driftwood.
Mm-hmm.
That means Tommy Doyle has seen House of a Thousand Corpses.
And possibly the sequel, The Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
Which means that Sherry Moon Zombie is in the same, in her universe, Somebody plays
the Mooniverse. Sherry Mooniverse.
Oh God, the Sherry Mooniverse. Oh no. Oh, that's the worst one. That's the worst crossover. But that I wonder if Deborah Myers is like, why am I in this? What is this?
I just love love knowing Tommy Doyle for some reason has seen House of a Thousand Corpses.
Mm-hmm.
It is like just like quotes Otis Driftwood all the time, like "Run, rabbit, run!" Look at these pretty little titties on this, like just the grossest things coming from an 8-year-old.
I always got a little weird there a couple years ago. When do you guys have trick or treaters come to your house?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you ever get a little weird out when their dress is like things that are wildly age inappropriate?
I'm sure we have, but I don't remember offhand what kid was dressed as
I just remember every, so there was one year where Squid Game had just come out and Stephanie had a Squid Game costume and they're mm-hmm. like, oh shit, she's from Squid Games. She's from Squid Game. And I'm like, you are 7. Why are you watching a Korean television show on Netflix?
We did have one this past year. He walks up with his phone, clearly filming, and he goes, "I'm live streaming." And he gets the candy and he goes away. So somewhere I'm on some kid's live stream being like, "Stop filming me."
That was actually To Catch a Predator. He also offered you Zima and condoms.
Well, I was handing candy out of my van. So.
and it was November.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, my bad. I'm going to cut this if I'm not lazy.
Let's get to the killing.
Yeah, we get to, you know, essentially the movie Halloween. Michael, again, is behind Lindsay as she watches the thing from another world. And we get night stalking because then he follows Lindsay and Annie down the sidewalk. And he's not trying to hide anything. I just love that for some reason.
He's out and about and real proud to be doing it. My favorite is the scene of Linda and Bob. Bob just laying some pipe, just getting
it. Man.
My man, Bob.
She said, "Not yet." And he said, "My man."
Oops, my Bob. And I like that. I do also like that they do the butterfly look kill where he like stabbed into the wall. Every time I see that, though, ever since I point out, you can't stick somebody to a wall with a regular ass butcher knife. Like, it's impossible. You're just like, eh, but it's still very cool, and I still love it. But just knowing the physics of it would not work, I'm just like, aw.
It doesn't matter. Let it go.
Fine. But then Michael Myers does come back and has that classic Michael Myers attitude where, Bob dresses like the ghost first, and Michael Myers has none of that shit. He's just like, I'm gonna. And he just fucking comes out of nowhere with like a loud ass fucking bang and just stabs his ass.
Yeah, and then Linda looks like she's like, "We're gonna go for round two," and then she gets creeped out.
Yeah. How do you not realize that is not your boyfriend?
Yeah, this 8-foot behemoth.
In the original, we've talked about where it's like, so fucking hot under here.
Wearing a sheet with somebody else's glasses over a mask.
Yes. But at least regular Michael Myers and that Bob had like a similar build. This Bob is leaner, and this Bob is literally hunching over a fucking in the doorway. And he's like, "Bob, I don't like this. What are you doing? Like, how can you not tell? This man was just inside of you. Can you not tell his shape?"
Well, she had one beer.
You're right. If I have one beer, it just gets all the... I can't tell shapes anymore.
I don't know what else we want to do. We've got Danielle Harris and her boyfriend are in the Myers house, and they got to find a... No, that's a... What's her face?
Lori?
Not Lori, but the other one.
Annie?
Annie.
Yeah.
Annie, they're banging on the couch.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Everybody banging in this. Everybody getting laid. Like
except for Lori.
Except for Lori, because she's got to watch these damn kids. Annie has a really brutal death because like Michael Myers comes in and like stabs her boyfriend, and then she gets like dragged across the floor. And that's just, that seems really, it's just brutal.
She yells a lot, which I get. She's just been stabbed, but producer wife and I both are like, part of the thing that's a turnoff with all my Rob Zombie movies, just so much screaming.
So loud.
It's just loud. So loud. And at what point does that become part of the terror, and then it switches to annoying and more turns you off the movie? You know, and I get screaming as part of being scared, but man, it's a lot.
Yeah, so people get dropped, bodies get dropped, and then you have the showdown with Lori, and he's chasing her. And I think this chase scene is actually very well done. I think intensity of it.
Which chase scene? Because the part, there's the pool, and then there's after the pool.
I like the pool.
I do, too, because I told producer wife, like, they could have ended it where he gets shot in the pool, and there would have been, there's 15 minutes left in the movie where there he's like stalking her in the house. Mm-hmm. And I already feel like the theatrical cut is already long.
Yeah.
I'm good at that point. I don't need more movie, you know?
Yeah. But you got to have Loomis come back and like make his stand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But just the violence and then the fight that they have together with like the stabbing and then the ending of it. It just feels very real. It feels very real and raw. And like this is a man who is flesh and blood who can be hurt, but mm-hmm. it's going to take a lot to put him down.
Yeah. He just takes a beating so many different ways. And I think this is one of the most menacing Michael Myers ever on screen. I think this is the scariest, I think.
Yeah, because he's just a lumbering monster. Like, yeah. He's more like Jason in this than Michael Myers, as far as size and brutality goes. Like, he mm-hmm. has some very Jason-ass kills in this.
How do you feel about the scene in the house when she's running away? It's very tense, but if that were earlier in the movie, I feel like I'm fatigued by the time we get to this part.
Yeah, it's fine. But by the I had this on as background noise because I've seen it so many times. So it's a fine ending sequence. But like once you've shot him once, like what are we going to do the same loop again? It's just time to wrap. Time to end your movie, Mr. Zombie.
So how do you feel about Scout Taylor Compton as Laurie? Because I it's hard for me to separate one and two because I've watched them a lot
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out why two is so bad, but yeah. I still like it. I somehow like it for some reason.
I've come around to thinking two isn't that bad. I watched it a couple years ago and it is better than I remember. It's still terrible with all the literal horse shit that
that doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
It's
just, but it's weird.
It's with the Laurie, I get it has PTSD, but it's the Rob Zombie-ism of fuck you fucking fuck. Like it's so like,
mm-hmm.
it's like you just learned how to swear. And that's part of Laurie in this movie, but more so in the second one. But I don't hate the Laurie portrayal because if we're going to remake it, let's change it somewhat. You know?
I think she's youthful. I think she's mm-hmm. very much a teenager. I think she does a great job. I'm not annoyed by her. If anything, I'm more annoyed by like some of the writing they give her with the bagel shit and like how everybody's just horned up all the time and vulgar. But that's the entire movie as we've discussed. But
how
overall,
do you feel about Malcolm McDowell as Loomis?
I like him. I like Malcolm McDowell a lot. I think
I do too.
I think he's a very good actor, and I wish he was in more things that weren't Rob Zombie related. Because he's also in 31, and 31 is terrible.
I don't think I finished that, and not because it was bad. It just I didn't finish it, and from what it sounds like, I don't need to.
But it's okay to not finish it because it's bad. Okay. it is bad. It has a cool concept, and then you're like, "This is bad. This is like the Running Man, but Rob. It's bad. It's bad."
What about, I think we already talked about Brad Dourif. I'm just trying to think of if we should talk about, because some of these are iconic characters, but I think maybe we covered them.
I think we covered everybody. How do you feel about the end?
It's definitive until the sequel. Like,
yeah.
To shoot the dude in the head.
Yeah.
And she flips out. But again, I do appreciate, hey, you shot him in the head, and if that was that,
yeah,
that's it. There's also an alternate ending on the DVD that I had. I don't know if you watched that.
I did not, but I'm aware of it. Don't the cops shoot him instead?
Yeah, because Michael has Laurie, and then Loomis talks Michael into letting Laurie go, and she runs to Loomis, and then it looks like Michael is going to approach them for whatever reason, either menacingly or also, I want to be part of the family too, maybe. That's just how I read it, and then they shoot him.
Yeah. And I think that's, yeah, I like the ending there, especially how the gun doesn't go off at first. Mm-hmm. I just like click through all the chambers and just right before like she's about to shoot him, like he perks up again and is gonna fight her, and just like the gunshot, the blood spatter and the scream is so good. It makes me feel like, oh, she did just shoot somebody.
Yeah. And she shows it because she's not like a fighter till she has to be, but it's mm-hmm. like that's not her nature.
Yeah. Overall though, I thought she does a really good job in it.
Is this movie scary?
Weirdly, yes. I remember being genuinely kind of upset and scared by Michael Myers when I saw this in theaters, because he's a very powerful, mean-spirited force.
Yeah, I think it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have an oh shit moment?
I don't, man, there's so many oh shit moments in this. I think for me, probably the biggest oh shit moment would just be, oh, it's hard to say. I probably drowning Danny Trejo. Because
I think the kid beating the kid with the branch is my oh shit.
It's the only oh shit for me, because he was good to you, Mikey.
He was just good to you, man.
What's your favorite kill?
I'd have to. What's yours? Because I don't. Nothing like jumps out to me.
I think Ronnie, because I hated Ronnie so fucking much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to think about it, because I forgot that we do this at the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you like the branch kill too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stick it to him. Branch him up. Yeah. And that really happened. That was improv. Do you know that?
Yeah, man. It's just, and they got away with it because it was, you know, something where they shot it in Georgia is.
they didn't shoot it
in Georgia. Yeah, you can. If you kill somebody, you can. You know, it's like Walmart greeters. You can take an insurance policy out on them.
I thought you were saying it's a Walmart greeter. You can shoot them.
Like, well, yeah, they can do that too. In Georgia, this is like a Georgia thing. This people down there.
Okay, I didn't know. Thank you. I feel so learned now.
Somebody's on Wikipedia. They shot this in Pasadena, like right down from the original Meyer Myers house. No, they didn't. If you like this, what else should you check out, Gavin?
You should check out all the remakes we're going to cover on this podcast this season. We're going to be covering Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you like this style of movie, definitely watch any Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, any Rob Zombie movie, and that's pretty much it. Anything that has a lot of, or any Quentin Tarantino movie. And you'll enjoy the swearing and the white trashness of it all.
Yeah, I would say definitely check out House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects. Maybe Halloween Kills for how brutal that one is.
Mm-hmm.
Then some of the remakes that we'll talk about, because they all came out the same time a little bit. And then you get a reflection of what's really going on in society. Mm-hmm. Like I said, with 9/11.
9/11, beheadings. Yeah,
all that,
you know, it's a tough time in our history.
Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, maybe we should do that as a bonus episode on Patreon, because
that'd be good.
I think it's such a weird, like, there's two worst movies in this franchise that most people would say, Gavin. It's Halloween 2, Rob Zombie,
mm-hmm.
or Halloween 6, right? Maybe 5.
People don't like. People
or Resurrection, I forgot about that too.
People hate 5, Resurrection, and Halloween 2, Rob Zombie.
I think I would say include 6, but I'm a hater like that. But,
yeah. Listen, Barry kicks ass, okay?
Nope. No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
What are we watching next week?
We're going to do Nightmare on Elm Street. We're going to go watch a movie where he might be a pedophile, but he's not a pedophile, but he totally is a pedophile.
Yeah, they really, we'll talk about it, but I can respect that they're like, we're making a call on it, and then it's a wrong call, but it's from 2010.
Yeah, so we're all these remakes, we're going to hang out in the 2010s probably for a while.
With Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah, who maybe was a good Freddy Krueger. You have to listen to find out.
We'll talk about it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's next week as we're watching the remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street. You probably have only seen it once, and this will be your chance to revisit.
Like I'm doing.
Before we wrap up here, I took some time off, so I want to thank everybody that filled in on episodes. Go back and check those out, because I know there were some fun ones, including Tremors and Queen of the Damned and Resident Evil, all those. I'm back, so thanks to all the well wishes, because I did say I had somebody sick in my family, and it was my mom, and she passed away. And I'm not going to get too sad about it, because who wants to hear about that? But I want to thank everybody for all the well wishes, including our Patreon people and people that just are freeloading cucks, as we say on the cafeteria. But I want to tell everybody thanks for all your well wishes and condolences. I appreciate all the kind words.
Yeah, and I thought you were super selfish for taking that time for yourself. Yep. It put a lot of stress on me. So, You can't.
Yeah, you had
that
to actually edit something on this podcast for once.
I had to do work. I had to find guests. I had to talk to people. I had to call in favors. You know how much I owe Tyson Cox now? How much do I owe Tyson? My God.
He probably still owes you, so he's probably still in debt.
That is true.
But yeah, thank you to all the well wishes and all that. I don't know what else to say besides, you know, thank you.
Yeah, and we're very happy to have you back. I missed you a lot. We talked during all the hiatus and everything, but I missed you on the show. Our chemistry is great. People missed you, and I'm glad that we have such a great community to support you.
Yeah, I'm too. So thank you to everybody just for listening and all that. Are we good here, Gavin?
I think we're good. I think we're good.
They're coming to get you.
Barbara.
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.